Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm here in Texas. Today is Tuesday, May 12th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the second paragraph. You may think this an extreme case through that one paragraph ending, how it could have happened. And we are commenting on that one paragraph. All right, today's readers are, for the 12 steps, we'll have Alice G., the 12 traditions, and Marie M., and our readers of the text are Judy N. and Leah S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 11th, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,447. So that's 23447. And then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,448. 23448. And then before I go on, I'll just please remind everyone, if you are not speaking, which is everyone but me, please press star one to mute your phone, and thank you. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Alice G. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning, Alice G., recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Alice G. And then I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. are leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special services, special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we are resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the second paragraph. You may think this an extreme case, through that one paragraph ending, how it could have happened. And I will now ask Judy N. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. I'm Judy N., living recovered one day at a time in Maryland. You may think this an extreme case. To us, it is not far-fetched, for this kind of thinking has been characteristic of every single one of us. We have sometimes reflected more than Jim did upon the consequences, but there was always the curious mental phenomenon that parallel with our sound reasoning, there inevitably ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. The insane idea won out. Next day, we would ask ourselves in all earnestness and sincerity how it could have happened. And this paragraph is just Howard. I mean, it is describing me completely what happens before a binge. There is this curious mental phenomenon that occurs, and I looked that up, and that mental phenomenon that occurs within me, it refers to my mental processes that occur in my food addict brain without my conscious awareness of what's going on, of how my thoughts, my perceptions, my emotions are being affected. I'm not consciously aware of it. And thus, without my being consciously aware, my actions will be to take that first bite. I I'm not aware of it. It just happens, and I'm off on a spree or a slower paced relapse. But there was always a curious mental phenomenon that parallel with my sound reasoning, there inevitably ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking that first drink, because my sound reasoning failed to hold me in check. And insanely trivial excuse. Well, that happens because I'm not conscious of anything, so I cannot see and act on the truth and reality when it comes to my addiction. When it comes to this mental phenomenon that occurs with me, because I'm not consciously aware of what's happening. And then the insane idea wins out. What's that insane idea? I'll pick up again, despite having the self-knowledge about what binging will do to me. So what's the answer? The answer is, how can I stay consciously aware of everything at all times when it comes to food? I need to be God-conscious. When I'm spiritually fit and I'm living a God-conscious life, connected to my higher power throughout each day, because I get a 24-hour reprieve from this disease, then I have the power to understand that mental thought when that thought comes in. Because God, if I pause, God helps me say, Judy, that's poison. You're not going to put poison in your body. Because I have the power and the consciousness. God gives me that consciousness to deal with that that situation where I have a thought about picking up. I'm able to pause and stop with God's strength and power. And I'm able to say, with God giving me the power, no, that's poison for me. I'm not putting it in my body. And a few seconds later, it seems like it goes away and I move on. And with that, thank you. I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Judy N. from Maryland, for getting us started. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Hi, my name is Elda.
Debbie V.
Lisa Joby.
Harlan G.
Debbie V.
Harlan G.
Sarah T.
So let me tell
Mary
you
K.
who I've heard so far. Great, I hear you. I hear you, Esther. Yep. So let me tell you who I've got. I've got, I think, an Elda. I believe I heard someone named Elda. I heard Debbie
yes.
V, Lisa Joby, Harlan G, Carrot T, Larry K, and Esther K. Anybody else that I might have missed in that first group? We can take a couple more.
Lisa C.
Gotcha, Lisa. Anne Marie.
Adrian N.
Gotcha. All right. All right, this is good.
Adrian
N. So thank you, Adrian. I gotcha. So Elza, Debbie B, Lisa Joe, Harlan, Kara, Larry, Esther K, Lisa C, Anne Marie M, and Adrian N. So we will start with Elda. Please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. And go ahead and kick us off. Although we aren't hearing you yet, so be sure to press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me, Elda? Elda N.
Yes.
From Brooklyn?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say good morning. I claim my seat, and I love the reading and the share. It's amazing how the insane idea always comes back into my thinking. That trivial excuse, like, it's okay, you're just one. And and it is poison. I cannot put that into my system because it does, it triggers off a big compulsion where it takes me to a place that, you know, like I loved what the speaker shared, you know, it's either a slow binge or a rapid relapse. And I can't even have one, but my mind will always tell me, oh, it's okay now after. And, you know, the literature talks about a brief period of abstinence. And that's also why it's a delusion. And my mind always lies to me that I can just do one, or if I change the variation of how I'm putting it into my system, it'll be different this time. And without God and these 12 steps, I don't have the power to fight this disease off. And eventually it is fatal. Whether it's spiritual or physical, it is definitely a fatal disease. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Elza N. in New York. And then next up, we have Debbie V. followed by Lisa Jo B. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, for everyone being here. Dear fellows, what a story to share with you this morning. I am gratefully recovering in Virginia from compulsive eating. Oh, wow. So a few nights ago, I had this thought. I had it. It's okay. This thought came in, oh, a little more mustard, a little more mustard. And so it was a little more mustard. So what is the little more mustard? It's me turning away from a power greater than self. It's me forgetting. And that's what happens. That's what happens when I'm not spiritually fit. Okay, fast forward. So honest with my sponsor, honest with the power greater than self, and honest with what is it that I'm able to do and what am I powerless over. Stay aligned, stay aligned. We heard that this morning, staying aligned. In my conscious contact. So fast forward, went to a friend's house. They gave me a product that looked like it was okay to have. It was highly processed, but it was okay to have as far as ingredients. That thing, just holding it, I started to have a reaction in my body because I was very consciously connected yesterday. By the time I got home, I had several thoughts. Oh, I'll start eating it. Can't wait to have it. My body was reacting to it in every way, such an allergic way. I took that product and I thanked a power greater than self, put it into a bag, and immediately had relief in my body. That was amazing. That was amazing. And so the only thing I could say is that it was the conscious contact to know that if I started eating that product, I would have been sunk. I knew, I would have known that in the moment, and then would have had a mental blank spot and would have gone over and over again, doing the same thing over and over again, eating compulsively. So I'm so grateful. Conscious contact. Welcome to the newcomers. There's hope. There's hope. I just have to stay spiritually fit. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie V. in Virginia. And then next up, we have Lisa Jo B. followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Lisa Jo.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Trivial ideas. When I have been in the disease of compulsive overeating or any other disease of addiction, there are such trivial ideas of reasons to fall into the traps of basically the enemy. I mean, addiction is, I have been such a sick woman that I've known what I need to do, which is make a phone call, and I have blatantly refused to do it because I don't want anything to stop me from getting that food and temporarily, so to speak, lying to myself, saying that if I got that food, I would relieve the phenomena of craving, when actually it just produces more of it. It's so cunning and baffling. And excuse me. The thing about when I've gotten into the food, it blocks me from the sunlight of the spirit. It blocks me from from hearing God's voice and being in his being in his arms and being safe and protected and just hearing him talk to me in a soft, small voice. The addiction is loud. It screams at me. It tricks me, and I fall into that trap. Gratefully, I'm not doing that these days, and I attribute that to my conscious contact and beautiful relationship with my higher power, whom I call God, and there's nothing else like it. There's nothing else like it. And I am amazed and blown away that God is giving me the power to stay sober, to live in this beautiful abstinence. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa Jovi in Colorado. And the next up is Harlan Z, followed by Tara T. Good morning, Harlan.
Thanks. Hi, Lindsay. Thank you for your service this morning. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. And if you had done to me what I did to me, you'd have been arrested for attempted murder. And that's as much as I'm going to talk about the paragraph, so forgive me for violating the rules. 91 years ago today, May the 12th, 1935, is a pivotal day in all of our lives. And it's the day that Dr. Bob met with Bill. He said he would give him 15 minutes. They went up there at around 5 p.m. to the library of the Cyberlink Gatehouse, and they came down at about 11 p.m. They were up there for 6 hours. Dr. Silkworth had had a meeting with Bill just before he left for Akron because Bill was complaining to Lois, who suggested he go see Silkworth. He complained to Lois, "No one's getting sober. I keep getting these messages from God that I'm supposed to sober up drunks. No one's getting sober." And she turned to him and said, "But you're staying sober." It was so obvious, she said later, that it was really the only response, but he couldn't see it. Now, Dr. Bob was not originally recognized as a co-founder of AA. It was just Bill was the founder, and that was it. Hank Parkhurst had a much tighter clamp on being co-founder, but he was drunk by September of 39. Abby Thatcher, certainly, who gave the message to Bill, had a much tighter grip on the title of co-founder, but he was drunk in 36. Dr. Silkworth was who Bill thought might be a good co-founder, but he's not an alcoholic. So it's almost by default that Dr. Bob became the co-founder of AA. But this is a very special day because what does it signify? It signifies that Silkworth telling Bill not to preach to the drunks about God. Tell them about the hopelessness of the malady. Tell them about what I told you about the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind with its inherent mental blank spot. And this is the first time Bill tried his new approach. And it worked, even though Bob got drunk again and then got sober on Tuesday, June 10th. It was really June 17th. But Bill and Bob became co-founders really by sort of default.
That's time.
But 91 years ago today, May 12th, 1935, is a day that is pivotal in every one of our lives. Thanks, Lindsay, for your service. With that, I pass. Sorry, I broke the rules.
Thank you, Harlan G. in Arizona. And then next up, we have Kara T., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Kara. And please let us know where you're calling from.
I think you mean Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-T. Is there a Kara?
I probably misheard. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't stepping on someone. Hi, everybody. I'm Sarah T., and I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky. really grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here today. This paragraph was very apropos for me today. I had a hard day yesterday. I had a memorial service for a family member, and I've been recovered for a while now, and the food has been right-sized, and, you know, lest I forget that I belong here, when life starts lifing, I get what I like to call good ideas. It'll be fine if I, and, you know, fill in the blank. And I found myself doing that yesterday, in dealing, as a compulsive overeater, I just really don't enjoy big feelings. And the food has historically been a way that I can numb those. And I guess I would have thought that by now, right, by now I'm fine with that. You know, I can handle it. I have a spiritual relationship with my higher power, a really great relationship. But I found myself reaching for things that to see what I could get away with. And that's my disease. Like, my disease always wants to see what it can get away with and still call it abstinent. And so really, I just kind of wanted to come in and claim my seat and just express my gratitude that you all are here. You know, I will say that yesterday I was able to pray before every meal, and I did eat some weird things, but nothing was completely off the rails, and nothing is going to take me out. But that's just by the grace of God, right? I see myself so much in these pages. I just so appreciate the reminder that I'm Jim, that I am Jim. And I can find, I don't even have to find, I don't have to look very hard for insane ideas of like, oh, this will be fine. This is fine. And it's just really not fine. And I'm waking up this morning and I'm grateful that I have a meeting to come to. And I'm grateful that that memorial service is behind me now. Of course, the grief is not, but the heart event is, there'll be another, right? There'll be another heart event. Or a happy event, or a Tuesday, that will allow me to have an insane idea if I'm not spiritually fit. So I just appreciate all the shares that have come before me and that are reminding me that I belong here and that I can take actions today to put on my brain of recovery so that I can remain spiritually fit for whatever life brings me today so that I don't have to eat about it. I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah T. in Kentucky. And then quickly before Larry K., I just want to tell anybody who is on the line a bit late this morning where we are in the book. So we are on page 37 in the big book, second paragraph. You may think this an extreme case, and we are reading through that one paragraph. So Larry K., please go ahead and share.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. This is Larry Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. And thanks, everybody, for the share so far this morning and the lead. You know, Bill, he described the mental obsession as a number of things, but he described it as a fatal obsession of the mind that it compels us. It drives an alcoholic to drink. We got this phenomena, right? We don't understand it precisely, but we can certainly observe it, right? In science, a phenomenon, you can observe. You see it. And even when we know that it will destroy us, I knew that taking that first bite was going to destroy me again and again. But and based on Dr. Silkworth's theories, Bill, what he did was he characterized this aspect of the illness, as we read here, as a form of insanity. Now, for me, when I heard that word, you know, I had different preconceived notions of what insanity is and so forth. But to me, insanity, today is just the level of insanity is simply the inability. I have the utter inability to separate the true from the false. And that happens to me over and over again when I'm in an untreated condition. And as we learn, you know, as we read this morning, this makes it impossible for an alcoholic to to consistently form an effective mental defense. I have no mental a defense against the first bite. Regardless of my willpower, regardless of the consequences, it doesn't matter. And I don't know about your experience. You know, I certainly know about my experience. Before I ever learned about the nature of this disease, I would go on diets, you know. I would go on diets. And I would remove, looking back all the years, I would remove those alcoholic food substances. And I would remove the binge substances, and I would go about my day. And sometimes it would go well for a time. This is before program. Could be in program, right? But in an untreated condition. But I would go on those diets, and over again, there would come a day. And sometimes it was a day where there was great anxieties or fears and stuff and traumas and different things that were going on. And sometimes nothing at all. Sometimes it was a beautiful, sunny day, a perfect day, didn't matter. But that strange mental phenomena, that obsession, that level of insanity, I couldn't separate the truth from the false. And there would come a reason, didn't matter what. There was a reason, and I would pick up. And then, of course, I would trigger the phenomenon of craving, and off we're running, right? And the treatment as a compulsive overeater for me, and what I learned of our type, is almost ridiculously simple. The treatment is ridiculously simple. You know, I need to undergo a revolutionary change.
I need
to develop a relationship. Thanks. I need to develop a relationship with power, a power greater than myself. And that's the deal. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. in Illinois. And then next up, we've got Esther K. followed by Lisa C. Good morning, Esther. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Mr. K. from Georgia, and thank you so much today for the grace of God. I'm 60 days abstinence. We went through radiation, cancer, removal, and everything. I am abstinent. Something happened to me yesterday that I can tell that I have to be in this program and to be totally honest to anything that I do. I thought I was going to have only like 2 weeks of radiation, and they said, no, it's 13 days more. And I looked at her and said, what's going on? And right away I said, Esther, calm down. You're wrong. And when I came home, I felt so guilty that maybe I got that thing of guilty. And what that I did, I made a phone call, I did an outreach call, and I was totally honest. Because I start feeling that I want to have that compulsive bite, that stomach pain that always comes from my fear. And I was able to, let it go and say to a fellow. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Esther K. in Georgia. Next up is Lisa C., followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I am a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you everyone for your service and for a wonderful meeting. I'm not even sure what I'm going to say. There was a quiet moment on the line and I thought I would, share my name. But I think that what is standing out to me the most is, like, you may think this an extreme case, which is really but I think it's that in my disease, you know, like it's similar to yesterday, you know, talking about lack of proportion and plain insanity. I mean, it's just, I don't have a good assessment of things. And that's the irony of that is that I really thought that I did. I really thought that I had really strong, like, analytical skills, and in an academic sense, I really do. But in a life sense, it holds no bearing of benefit to my life. And, I think that it doesn't make sense. You know, there is no making sense of the way that I ate and the way that I would try to rationalize my eating and justify my eating. But I think that right now, like, really in the thick of the action steps for me right now, I am like feeling things and uncomfortable and not yet recovered, but I think pretty close, and starting to really think about steps 8 and 9, which is just, I just had just this outpouring of emotion this morning. And I just realized that, insane ideas will win out in or out of the food without recovery and without God, because my mind is on like this loop of just sort of assessing things and people and situations. Maybe it's hypervigilance, maybe it's, I don't know, doesn't matter, but it's on this loop of kind of assessing things and always coming up with the wrong answer about other people and about situations. And so, you know, really that insane idea won out, yeah, it just continuously wins out for me, and really leaves me in such a state of hopelessness and despair. And so I am dreading and also just eager to complete the next couple of steps so that I can get to the other side, because right now it feels like I won't. I feel like some of the things I've been carrying that I've been, you know, keeping my head above water but barely not drowning are starting to really just appear so ugly and impossible to get through. And I suppose that is why we can't really stay here very long and we have to work the steps quickly. And I guess sharing this helps me remember that that's my assignment today. And I'm really grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa C. in New Jersey. And then next up is Anne Marie M., followed by Adrian N. And then we will take another list of people to share. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M. I am in South Carolina, and through God's grace and mercy, I am recovering from compulsive eating. You know, the line that caught me is, we sometimes reflected more than Jim did upon the consequences. And for me, I would sit there or pace back and forth thinking whether or not I should compulsively eat, and yes, I will, no, I won't, back and forth. I think that the reason that I would reflect more than Jim did is because I've been in this program of Overeaters Anonymous, and I've learned so much. I think with Jim, I'm thinking that he wasn't, you know, connected to any kind of a group. You know, he got his wife back, his family and all that, and you know, I think he got not only disconnected from God, but or maybe he wasn't even connected to God to begin with, but he wasn't, I don't think he was connected to a fellowship. And so, you know, I would have all these thoughts go on in my head. Yes, it'll be okay. I'll just do this at one time. And then no, you know, I won't. So for me, it's because, you know, I have this knowledge in my head, but the knowledge wasn't enough. It never was enough. So that's all I wanted to say. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. And then next up, Adrian N.
Good morning. This is Adrian N. in Florida. And I have to first make amends because I was supposed to read the 12 steps today. I'm currently in the hospital, and the nurses were in the room with, going over my case. So I'm sorry I missed that. But I am Jim, and I'm all the people that have picked up or failed or, you know, or weren't totally recovered. Sound reasoning, I don't even know that when I would pick up that it was reasoning. It was, I wanted it. I didn't think of what I'm feeling, of what the consequences would be. I would just do it. And that to me is the insanity, is being in the rooms 30 or 40 years and not even thinking about where that bite is going to take me. And you know, I guess I, you know, I, one person shared, and I don't, I can't say it as clearly as that person did, but it was like, and I can't even say it at all. I get aphasia when I get nervous. So it was like, what am I thinking? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? None of that comes into mind. And when I look back, it's like, I want to feel like I fit in. I want to feel like I'm a part of instead of apart from. I want to not be bored. There's so many things that I figure out after the fact, but before the fact, I don't go to God. I don't analyze what's going on. I just redo it. And that, to me, is insanity. Knowing for over 50 years where a bite's going to take me and still taking that bite is pure insanity. So thank you for letting me share. And again, I apologize. I pass.
Thanks, Adrienne in Florida. All right, it's time to take another list of names to share. So who else would like to share this morning?
Could you please tell me
from Oregon?
I think I got Liz S. from that. Who else?
I was asking to... what page are we on this morning? Thank you.
We're on page 37, the second paragraph. You may think this an extreme case.
Thank you.
All right, I've got Kimberly S. And I've got Sima M. Kimberly K. All right, who else?
Sandy K.
Was that G
L? Jamie R.
Jamie, got it. Okay, and then somebody okay. K.
Sandy. Sandy K.
Sandy. All right, so what I have is Liz S., Sima M., Kimberly K., Sandy K., Jamie R., and Cheryl L. We may or may not get to everybody, but let's give it a shot. So Liz S., please go ahead.
Thank you so much for your service, Lindsay. This is Liz S. from Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Thank you, everyone here. You are part of what makes this possible, and my higher power and my actions all kind of mushed together to make this happen. I deal a lot for myself in visual images. I had remembered when I was in school, grade school or high school, and at least the girls were given the opportunity to walk on the balance beam. Somebody mentioned that the enemy, that there's actually an enemy, and I envisioned in that share, during the share, that I was on a balance beam, and there was like a crowd of people around me trying, like yelling at me, you know, you can't do this, you're gonna fall, and other things which might almost bring me to tears. And I thought that, and I realized, I didn't think. When I start saying I think, I better watch out. I realized that getting to goal weight has been a trigger for a long period of dicey walking on that balance beam, and it feels like the balance beam has gotten to about an inch wide, and I'm barely holding on because I keep thinking, oh, well, let it go away. And that is diet mentality for me. For me, that is dangerous. dangerous territory, and it's only by the grace of my higher power that I am able to balance and that I am able to open my mouth and share today that it's scary. I'm going back east to be with my family. It's a loaded situation, and I'm scared. So I am reaching out to God, to my higher power, to, like,
that's kind.
Thank you. To help me. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Liz S. in Oregon. And then next up, we've got Sima M., followed by Kimberly K.
Hi, this is Sima M. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead and share.
Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater, living in recovery in New Jersey. It's been a while since I shared on vision. I used to be a daily visionary for many years, and then with COVID, we have these Zoom meetings now. So but on Sunday, my higher power tapped me on the shoulder and said, why don't you go on vision? So I went to the special edition, and now here I am today. And 50 years, 1975, or over 50 years since I walked into my first OA meeting, and in New York City. And at that time, I don't know, the message hadn't gotten across the country yet, but people weren't working the program according to the steps or reading the big book. They were just practicing some tools. And luckily, I met a man who was working the big book, who was from AA and who started teaching us the big book. And I might have made some progress, but I was one of those grave emotional and mental disorders. It took me many years to recover. And recently I realized that I'm not over my addiction. I still want food more than the average person does, even though I've been abstinent for 12 years. So I have a new respect for the disease, and we're having a new relationship. I spent 4 months depressed this winter, and I finally came out of it. And I didn't want to binge while I was depressed, but I didn't want to live either. But thank God my higher power got me through it. I couldn't directly communicate very well with. It was like I was hibernating and watching the world go by. And but for all the years that I've been in recovery, all the years that I've been, since I came back after a hiatus, I came back and found vision for you and was totally blown away by the fact that here is the program at last. Here are people that are working the program. Here's a place where I can connect. And the disease might be there, but I was never one that tried to convince myself that I could take one bite. I wasn't even conscious. I just dove into the food for months and months until I gained all the weight back and then oblivion. So I don't understand people that can just want one thing. For me, it's either all or nothing, so I just don't start. And I have a new respect for food and for my status as a compulsive overeater. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sima M. in New Jersey. And then next up, Kimberly K. And Kimberly will be followed by Sandy K.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kimberly K. from New Hampshire. And I continue to be amazed that I hop on this meeting at 7 a.m. excitedly to learn more about my extreme case of compulsive overeating. And the extreme case of, you know, putting milk in whiskey. That's very creative. And it reminds me, and sick, it reminds me of how creative I was. You know, when I look back on my eating disorder and compulsiveness, I wanted you to pony up with me, you know, but hid the creations and the timing and the voning of quantity and the sneaky behavior that came around that. I'm amazed at how seductive I was, you know, and if you get together, I was the ringleader. Look at this beautiful food, and then putting a plate together and, you know, going back to the food and taking more, but thinking you're not seeing me take more because what I've already eaten was a lot. I didn't have sound reasoning. I was insane, but I didn't realize how insane. And I've learned coming back into the rooms that I have a disease. I have a means of working through those things that bring me to that dis-ease of actions, and that is working the steps in a way that I have never worked them. And boy, this book, the big book, outlines very specifically what Kimberly can do to keep away from that seductive magnet and steel of food. I want, you know, and today, you know, I've heard the expression, you know, I'm neutral. I'm becoming more neutral around the stuff that will just spin me into more unhealthiness. Or sound reasoning to hold us in check. I really thought I had sound reasoning, and it failed me, and that's how I became very ill. You would know it, you know, my peak. I understand. I hope everybody has a great Tuesday. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kimberly K. in New Hampshire. And then next up is Sandy K. Sandy, please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you very much. This is Sandy K., happily recovered today in Florida. I say happily recovered because my life right now is just a whirlwind of different things happening. And if I'm not abstinent, it'll pull me in different parts, and then I may stop working one of the steps. So for me, the phenomena of craving doesn't come up if I'm free of my addictive foods. It doesn't come up if I'm working all the steps and the tools to support those steps. It doesn't come up. There are very, very few times that I have that phenomena of craving. But I know, because I've had two relapses in the 40 plus years I've been in program, that if I take that one itty bitty silly bite, and that's not exactly what somebody used to say, but if I take that one, I can take that one itty bitty silly bite because it sets up my craving. And that's it, I'm off to the races. And that's why diets did not work for me before I came to OA. I'd lose the weight. And then I didn't know I was allergic to certain sweets. And I had something in moderation like everybody else. But no. I'm allergic to it and accept the craving, the phenomena of craving. So I cannot have one bite. And if I don't, I can continue to be abstinent with the help of my higher power, who ties everything together for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. in Florida. Janie R., would you like to take a one-minute share?
Sure, thanks. Hi, I'm Janie R. from New York. Thanks for all the service and sharing today. Yeah, just real quick, I guess I love this paragraph. It absolutely defines my powerlessness. And that I love how a couple words in here, it tells us it's it's the sign is thinking of every single one of us. And that's what I get out of meetings, is that I can relate to all of you. This powerlessness about it's always and inevitably it's going to happen. Just it's going to happen. And I've just got to be like Jim, you know, and avoid that thing. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life, ends up in an asylum. There you go again. So for me, I like something I heard on one of Harlan's talks, that the emotion will always beat out the intellect here. So I've got to be super careful, stay connected with others, listen to some meetings, and man, turn to the higher power. So thanks again, and I pass with that. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Janie R. in New York, for taking us out this morning. And then Cheryl L., hopefully you can stay on for the second hour. And thank you to everyone who shared and gave service this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, May 11th, is 23,450. So that is 23450. All right, we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leia S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.